Question: why is the holy month of Ramadan called Ramadan? Maybe some have asked that question. I don't know. Maybe the Maulanas have addressed that this past few days. But why is the holy month of Ramadan called Ramadan? We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do anything, for jest or play. There's a reason behind everything. Foremost, or firstly, the Arabs like to name their months in relation to the temperature or the environment during those months. And the holy month of Ramadan, which is the ninth month on the lunar calendar, happens to fall, I guess, overseas in hot months. And in the dictionary, Ramad, which means scorchedness or parchedness due to extensive heat. Ramad. Ra, meem, dod. Ramad. Also, Ramda means scorched earth. So obviously, the root of Ramadan has to do with heat and extensive heat. So obviously, we have to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now, keep in mind, I just mentioned that Ramad means scorchedness or parchedness due to excessive heat, and that Ramda means scorched earth. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had mentioned that innama sumiya ramadanu la annahu yarmadul dunub. Verily, the month of Ramadan is named such because it burns away the sins or cooks away the sins, and it's a blessing that if we fast properly, our sins would be melted away. It's just like the sun can have its effect on the land, make the land hot. And heat is a purifier. Heat is a purifier. And so during the month of Ramadan, inshallah, we are made of clay and we should be going through a purification process, inshallah. But nonetheless, that's where the name, the holy month of Ramadan, has its root in the words being heat, scorched earth, or parched land, because we're made of clay. As well. But nonetheless, just a little information. Now, I guess the something that needs to be repeated and repeated and repeated 1,000 more times is that the holy month of Ramadan is not about leaving food and drink. As I've mentioned, and I reiterate for those who've come in, if you think the holy month of Ramadan is only about leaving food and drink, you will only leave the holy month of Ramadan with a slimmer stomach and maybe, a little more pep in your step due to losing a few pounds. Nothing, not much more than that. But if you look at this holy month of Ramadan as it should be looked at, as a abandoning or abstaining from all haram and makruh things, then you will leave this holy month of Ramadan also with a slimmer waistline, and also with a little more pep in your step, but more importantly, closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this should be our goal, inshallah ta'ala. Now, obviously, let me say this. It is possible. If you don't remember anything that I say today, it is possible to go through this holy month of Ramadan and not benefit one bit from it. We seek refuge from that, but yes, it is possible to leave food and drink and come out of this holy month without being purified of our sins. It's important that we understand this so we pay more attention to our conduct throughout this month. And inshallah, you will hear from the imams. I will read to you verbatim what the imams have said about this very fact. So it's important that we understand that, yes, it is possible to go through this month, leave food and drink, and not benefit anything but hunger and thirst. So we need to be mindful of that so we don't fool ourselves. And it will be clarified more from the imams themselves as I read some of their very informative and very important narrations concerning this holy month. Now, first and foremost, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Allah, Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, had mentioned too many are fasting ones who suffer nothing but thirst. Likewise, too many are the worshippers who suffer nothing but fatigue. How wonderful the sleeping and eating of the courteous ones are. Now, obviously, this is one of the milder of the narrations that I'm going to bring to you of the possibility, which we do not want to fall under, where we can come out of this holy month of Ramadan with only benefiting, only suffering thirst and hunger. And then tradition is funny, not funny meaning hilarious, but it's unique because he mentions that sleeping and eating of the sincere ones is good. Obviously, sleeping is makruh all the time, and eating too. But even the sleeping and eating of the ones who are sincere is better than the leaving along of food and the worship of those who are not sincere in their fasting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's important we understand that because, you know, many of us, there's a thing in Islam where we can deceive ourselves. Or shaitan deceives us or helps to deceive us into thinking we're doing something when we're really not. So it's important that we go into this month knowing that, yes, it is possible to go through this month and, you know, not benefit from it. And we seek refuge from Allah from this unfortunate fate. So nonetheless, I read it one more time with Imam Ali, alayhi salatu wasalam, who said, "Too many are fasting ones who suffered nothing but thirst," meaning they do not benefit spiritually at all. They just come away thirsty and hungry. And he said, "And also, too many are worshipers who suffer nothing but fatigue. Their prayers are not even accepted. They do all these amal for other than Allah, so it's like all they're doing is being tired." And we do not want to fall under that category. I'm going to ask this question. What is the purpose among the purposes? Give me one purpose of this holy month of Ramadan to observe fast in this holy month of Ramadan. One, the number one purpose. I'm going to check my audience here. What's the number one purpose of observing fast in this holy month of Ramadan? To get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to establish piety. Not to slim the waistline, not to just, you know, keep up appearances. It is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and obviously I only heard a few people say I should have heard more mumblings and more voices or more lips moving. The purpose of this month is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should not be, but in many cases, to get back on track. It should be you're already on track and you're getting closer. But obviously in many cases we're getting back on track. But alhamdulillah, better late than never. Also, Imam Sadiq, no, stop. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had said, "Too little is the fasting, and too much is the feeling of hunger." Too little is the fasting, and too much is the feeling of hunger. I mean, most of the people aren't fasting, they're just hungry and thirsty. Very few of the people are sincerely and truly fasting. And when you study Islam, it's important that you can have a better understanding of a thing if you understand its opposite. So if you want to understand light, then you need to understand darkness. If you want to understand darkness, you need to understand light. So if you want to understand how to benefit from this holy month of Ramadan, you need to know what? How you can fail to benefit from this holy month of Ramadan. Salawat if you understand. And so understand that, you know, and the imams will clarify. Just, you know, you don't wear the veil or you don't offer prayers or you cheat at business and you just, you know, stay away from food and drink, you're not fasting. You're not offering prayers, but you're staying away from food and drink and saying, "Yes, I'm fasting." No, you're not. You're not observing the veil and you're walking around hair out. The imams have mentioned that your skin needs to fast. Your eyes need to fast. And yes, quote unquote, your hair needs to fast, et cetera, to be fasting. Food and drink is bottom of the barrel. And the imams will clarify it in more straightforward terms than I can even think about mentioning. But it's important you understand that to be fasting, we need to be obeying what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed, avoiding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to avoid, and even staying away for things that are makruh, meaning things that are disliked. Under normal circumstances, we like to graze our cattle in that gray area. Instead of keeping our cattle away from that fence line that can go to the next property, we like to go up to that area where eventually some cattle is going to go over into the other property, which belongs to Allah. So in this holy month of Ramadan, we keep our cattle in the safe zone, away from that gray area. And that gray area is all those things that Allah dislikes, all those things that are makruh. You know, so it's important that we be mindful of this. Now, to the meat and potatoes, I'm going to narrate from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, if you send three loud salawats. And I just got an epiphany. So just before I go into these narrations, it's important we understand that fasting has also been prescribed, one of the philosophies among many philosophies, to make the poor and the wealthy equal, at least for a few moments. Because during the holy month of Ramadan, the rich people should endure those hunger pains and experience what the poor people go through involuntarily and regularly. So if someone rich fasts and goes without this food and stomach becomes a knot and they're voluntarily doing this, it should make them in 2 days be saying, wow, I need to be more compassionate to the poor ones who have to go through this regularly. So this is another huge philosophy of the fasting of the holy month of Ramadan, to close the gap at least for a short time. Between the, as far as dunya is concerned, mind you, let me add that little footnote, as far as dunya is concerned, to close the gap so that those haves can be more compassionate to the have-nots. Because many of us, we throw away more food that can feed families. Or we have 4 or 5 servings and the family can take that one serving and divide it amongst the family and be full, because that's how much food that they don't eat regularly. So one of the huge philosophies is that during this holy month, we should be in tune or become in tune with the have-nots. And understand this, brothers and sisters. Fasting is starting tonight. You do not wake up, eat suhoor, sleep all day long, wake up for a few moments, have iftar, and then stay up all night. This is not fasting. You go about your regular routine, but now you go through it with the hunger and pain of thirst. Don't stop your routine. It is playing with a lot. I've heard about it from many countries who will shut the whole country down and only turn it up at nighttime. Everybody's sleeping all day long, And then they'll wake up at nighttime, break their fast, and stay up all night and sleep during. This is playing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're supposed to endure the hunger and thirst. Don't take any days off of work. If you have a workout schedule, continue your workout schedule. If you ride mountain bikes during the day, continue riding your mountain bikes. Just don't bring any water with you. We're not trying to play with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're only missing one meal. Instead of having 3 meals, we're having 1 in the morning, 1 in the evening. Many of us, we can be so busy chasing the dollar that we'll forget to eat anyway. Oh, subhanAllah, I forgot to eat. And it's evening time. You've all gone through it, male or female alike. Been so busy, like, wow, I forgot to eat. So it's not about the food and drink. That's the easy part. It's about refraining from what is haram. And everything has a right. The right of our fasting, the fasting itself has a right. Our eyes have a right. Our eyes must fast. Keep them away from things that are haram. If you don't do it normally, you must do it in this month. Your ears have to fast. If you don't do it normally, you have to, in this month, keep them away from hearing things that are haram. Or even things that one Maulana says haram, the other Maulana says it's makruh. Keep away from all of that. It's not just what is haram, also what is disliked. So all of this gray area, all of the dispute, you should be saying, my only motive in this month is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your eyes should be fasting. Your ears should be fasting. Your tongue should be fasting. Your hands, your feet, everything should be fasting. Your hair, everything should, your skin should be fasting to have a successful fast. Then you'll see, inshallah ta'ala, when you come out of the holy month of Ramadan, you will feel different. And when I mean different, spiritually different. Trust me, many of us come out of this holy month and don't feel anything different. But the beard grew, and you're going to shave it off as soon as the Eid is over anyway. Inshallah, we don't do this like last Ramadan or the month prior. I've seen all of these trends. The holy month is also evidence against us, because even the weak in faith get stronger during this month. Even the munafiqun get better in this month. And the pious should even get better. Everyone gets better in this month. So it's proof that if we can do it for 30 days, we can do it for 360 something days. So it's evidence against us. If you can avoid what is haram and what is makruh for 30 days, you just, newsflash, you just have evidence against you that you can do it for the rest of your life. So think about this. You know, it's not something, as I mentioned, I know many of you have seen these hospital movies, and some of you are nurses, where you have the I forget what the machine is called. EKG. And during the month of Ramadan, and then the rest of the other 11 months, in the month of Ramadan, and the rest of the other 11 months, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be up high all 12 months. Imam Sadiq, alayhi salatu wasalam, said every day should be like Ramadan. Every day should be like the holy month of Ramadan, because you've proven during the holy month that you can do it. Many of you say, oh, it's so hard, this Islam is so hard, but you do it during the month of Ramadan. So that's the evidence. You know, you testified against yourself. So on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, when your mouth is sealed and you say, you know, and Allah asks you, why couldn't you do this or this? Why couldn't you follow the religion of Islam? You know, your body testifies against you that you did do it for 30 days. 30 days is not a short time. I mean, it's not a very long time, but it's a good number of days to do something. Salawat if it's correct. So it's important that we don't deceive ourselves. As I've been mentioning on many lectures and many khutbah, we need to get off the, finish it. We need to get off the treadmill where we're not advancing, where we're like, man, I don't know why. You know, we have to do it the right way, with the right niyat, the right intention, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because you've been doing this since you can remember. It should be everything that we do in Islam, not just Saum. Everything that we do in Islam should be to get closer to Allah, not because it's something you've been doing since you can remember. Why do you do this? I don't know. I've been doing it since I can remember. My family was doing it, and I just do it. This is not accepted. It needs to be to get closer to Allah. Qurbatan illallah. You know, to get nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this month is the month to do it. If we do things properly, we will come out of this month like a baby just born sinless. I don't know about you guys, but I need that. You know, and it takes, and it's not hard to do. It just takes to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But many of us have this misconception that we do these things. I grow the beard, beautiful beard. You know, I can't really grow a beard. My beard curls up in itself. Beautiful beards and grow like, mashallah, man, make dua that I can get that. And then, Eid. Or fighting at the Eid. Or fighting and arguing during the holy month. Then we're not fasting. But inshallah, whatever I can say, me and Maulana was speaking. He said that for this month, he's going to read from Najib Balagha. He's going to let people hear his community, hear the community that he's speaking over, hear what Imam Ali has to say. If you think that any Maulana can hit you on the stick, the proverbial stick, Imam Ali, whoo, brings the pain. But he does it beautifully. Well, you say, he just chews you out and make you say thank you. That's how elegantly he does it. But he brings the pain. And this month, inshallah, maybe you guys too at home, open up Najib Balagha. You'll be like, wow, whoo, Imam Ali, boy, he's bringing the pain. He's bringing the fire. Concerning this religion and how we should be doing things. But nonetheless, now, as promised, I'm going to go to Imam Sadiq, alayhi salatu wasalam, and I'm not going to say Imam Sadiq said. And I'm not going to do that to disrespect. I want you to close your eyes and imagine that I am not here, that it's the Imam who's giving you this lecture, like he gave it to his Shia during his time. So inshallah, I want you to use your mind's eye and put yourself in a situation where there is no Maulana here, where the real Maulana, that I think that should be only applied to Ahlul Bayt anyway, Maulana, our master, that should only be applied to Ahlul Bayt. But nonetheless, that's another issue. The real Maulana, Imam Jafar Sadiq, alayhi salatu wasalam, who the Jafari school is named after, use your mind's eye, imagine that he himself is reading, is speaking this to you. So inshallah, I'm going to begin now, and Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Verily, fasting is not abstinence from food and drink. Rather, when you observe fasting, you should keep your tongues from uttering falsehood. and keep your sights from seeing forbidden views, and do not engage yourselves in disputes, and do not envy each other, and do not backbite each other, and do not quarrel with each other, and do not swear, whether falsely or truly, and do not insult each other, and do not revile each other, and do not wrong each other, and do not engage yourself in shameless matters, and do not be bored, and do not be careless of mentioning Allah, Almighty Allah, or the prayers, and abide by silence, quiet, patience, truthfulness, and avoidance of the evildoers, and avoid perjury, lying, slander, contention, evil thinking, backbiting, and talebearing. And ready yourselves for the next world and for your happy days. That is the event of the rising Imam from the household of Muhammad. Peace be upon all of them. Expecting that which Almighty Allah has promised you. Preparing yourselves for meeting Almighty Allah with tranquility, solemnity, piety, submission, and humiliation of the slaves who fear and hope for their masters. O observer of fasting, purify your heart from defects, and clean your inner self from filth, and wash your body from dirt, and disavow the enemies of Almighty Allah, and act sincerely before Him, and abstain from all that which has deemed unlawful for you to do in secret and in public, and fear Allah Almighty as He deserves in secret and in public, and dedicate yourself to Almighty Allah during the days of your fasting, and empty your heart from all things except Him, and ready yourself to do whatever is commanded by Him, and to do whatever He has ordered you to do. After you do all these, only then are you considered fasting for the sake of Almighty Allah as truly as it should be. Carry out all that which He has ordered you to do. But if you violate any of these things, this will decline the degree of your fasting. My father narrated that when the Holy Messenger of Allah heard a woman who claimed observing fasting, insulting one of her bondwomen, he summoned the woman, brought her some food, and ordered her to eat. She said, I'm observing fasting, Allah's Messenger. But the Holy Prophet answered, how can you be fasting while you have insulted your bondwoman? Verily, fasting is not abstinence from food and drink. Rather, Almighty Allah has decided fasting to be a screen from the other spoken and done evil doings. Too little fasting and too much is the feeling of hunger. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now, for those of you who paid attention to this lengthy narration, every Maulana could just have read this narration and left the minbar at that. Began it, opened up, read this narration and left. There's nothing more that needs to be said. I don't know what your parents taught you that fasting was, or the patriarch or your family, or this person or that person taught you what fasting was. Obviously, to do what the Imam said, we need to bolt ourselves down in the houses, bang wood against the door and do not leave our house, because it seems like it's almost impossible to abide by what he said to do. No backbiting, no slander, no evil doing. And these things, understand this. I didn't bring this narration because I'm pretty sure the other Maulanas have mentioned it. If you do backbiting, ghibat during this month, fasting is done for you. You still have to complete it, but it is void. That's how serious things are in this month. And he mentioned that if you, there are many things he mentioned that if you violate things, he said your fasting will reduce in degrees. So you can do some sins and stray this and that, and your fasting will be accepted, but the worth will go down. For example, just to give an analogy, it was worth $1,000. Now it's worth $600. Now it's worth $300. And we want to get out without it being worthless. So as we violate all of the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's right now say that our fasting, before it starts, is worth $1 million or $100 million, or $1 gazillion. And as we keep violating these laws during this month, that number goes down. Blick up, from $1 million to $100,000, from $100,000 to $1,000. We just keep plugging away at our fasting until it becomes worthless. And we don't want to get to that point. But there are some things. One of them is ghibat. That if you do ghibat during this month, your fasting is void. Period. And that is backbiting, which is probably one of the most difficult things to do, which is guard this tongue. As I mentioned, that fasting should be a protection on the tongue, the eyes, and so on and so forth. But one of the two things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam had mentioned that can lead us to the hellfire, he said the two fleshes, one between the thighs and the other between the lips. You know, we are leaving the food and water, but we're yelling at people. We're at work yelling at our employees or arguing with a customer. Customers always right in business. Newsflash. In this month, they're doubly right. They're right. No arguing with the customers. No yelling at your employees. No yelling at the kids. No yelling at your wife. No yelling at your husbands. Remember what the Rasulullah mentioned. There was a lady yelling at her bondwoman, at her servant. He said he ordered food and said, now eat. Oh, but I'm fasting, Rasulullah. You're what? That's fasting? Said, no, fasting is not about food and drink. It's about avoiding all these other evil doings that are spoken and done. This is the real fasting. And this is why it's important that we should have been, the Shia of Ali should have been, began warming up during when? Which month? Rajab. That was the warm-up. And phase two of the warm-up should have been. So you got the hunger and thirst out of the way. You got the irritation out of the way. So now when you get to this month, you're like, okay, I got the food and drink down pat. Now let me go on working on akhlaq and other issues of the soul. But in many cases, we don't make use of these other months. And then for the first 10 days, we're going to be irritable. We're going cold turkey starting the holy month of Ramadan. Angry. I'm fasting, leave me alone. You know, we've experienced this at one time or another. Inshallah, it was way back, you know, first or second holy month of Ramadan. So please, brothers and sisters, we have to make use of this month and realize that, you know, in this month, if someone was to, you know, actually, like as I mentioned, the imams have mentioned that every month should be like Ramadan. Every day should be like the holy month of Ramadan, in which we are very tolerant of others. And we are more concerned with getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam alayhi salatu wasalam also mentioned, and please listen to this. When you begin your day observing fasting, this is everyday advice. You don't remember the long hadith I mentioned? Remember this, I recite it three times. When you begin your day observing fasting, you should make sure that your hearing, your sight, your hair, your skin, and all your organs are observing fasting. That is abstaining from not only the forbidden acts, but also the disliked ones. When you begin your day fasting, that's everybody. When you and I begin our days fasting, you should make sure that your hearing, your sight, your hair, your skin, and all your organs are also observing fasting. That is abstaining from not only the forbidden acts, but also the disliked ones. Also the makruh things. One more time, so I'm clear with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you begin your day observing fasting, and that is, now be specific. You know, Mahmoud, Ahmed, you know, all the names that I could call of all the brothers whose names I know, I'm speaking to you and also the other brothers and to myself first and foremost. That when we begin our day fasting, we should make sure that our hearing, our sight, our hair, our skin, and all of our organs are also observing fasting. That is from not only the haram acts, but also the makruh acts. As I've mentioned, and it will never end until Allah takes my soul, it's not about feeling good. Islam is not about feeling good. It's about being good. I don't want to give you so many hadiths like, oh, mashallah, hell, he got a lot of books, so many hadiths. No, it's not about this. I want to give you what you can understand clearly and benefit from. I want myself, my family, and all of my extended family this month, I don't know what happened last month, holy month of Ramadan, to fast properly. To when they get in their car, keep your eyes glued to that road. When you stop at the light or you're going through Walmart, keep your eyes glued to the ground. If you're going someplace where music is playing, be seeking refuge from Allah, not moving to it. All of these things that you know are haram, that you've been lackadaisical on at prior times, this holy month, you begin to abide by that haram and stay away from it. Begin to do what Allah has commanded. When you grow the beard this time more than a shadow, leave it. Ladies, those of you who are observing hijab this holy month, leave it. For those of you who have offered more than just the 5 daily prayers and have extended to the night prayer, continue it. Continue it. You know when the jihad is? You know when the real test is? It's not the holy month of Ramadan. It is the Eid. It's what you continue to take from this holy month. That is the test. You're going to do some wonderful things. You're going to do some things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the tawfiq. And your test is not doing them during the holy month. You've proven you can do that months prior. Your test is when the holy month ends and when you break your fast and when you pray your Eid al-Fitr, your Zakat al-Fitr, when you pay that, that you continue the things that you have established during this month. This is the test. This is the test. I've seen it, especially with our young teens. Our teens right now, facial hair is growing. Some of our adults, facial hair is growing. Because they know, yeah, I got to do it. I want to do it through this month. This month, I'm going to be religious. If you could be religious 30 days, you can be religious the rest of your life. True or false? Salawat if this is the truth. But understand this. And I'm going to say this with no jest. I'm going to say this with seriousness. That those of us who are doing things that are shaky with Allah, bare minimum, or borderline sinning, depending on your marja, you better find out what it is quick. Because if you go through this month doing it, call up whatever Ayatollah you want and let him finish the rest. This is how serious it is. If you go through this month and are sinning against Allah, then you're not fasting. And as I've mentioned, please understand, if I right now were to just run down a list of questions about do's and don'ts of this holy month of Ramadan, things that are wajib, things that are makruh, things that are halal, all of you or most of you would get 100. But when it comes to practical application, this is where we fall short. Salawat if this is true. And this holy month of Ramadan is going to be our best holy month of Ramadan to date. You're going to have one of the best speakers, if not the, and Sheikh Hamza Sadiqa. You're going to have other great Maulanas coming and visit you. And they're going to be giving you information upon information, workshop upon workshop. The key is application. There's very few hadiths that can be narrated that you have not heard. There's very few topics that any Maulana can speak that you've not heard already, sometimes 4 and 5 times before. But this time, inshallah, it should sink into the qalb, to where we begin to apply. Salawat ala Muhammad and wali Muhammad. Inshallah, we ask the Sheikh Hamza Sadiqa to come and join us, inshallah. I just mentioned his name and he arrives. Salawat ala Muhammad and wali Muhammad. As I've mentioned, brothers and sisters, that inshallah, this is the month where we prove to ourselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what we are capable of righteousness, piety, and obedience. And as I mentioned, the test is not doing it during this holy month of Ramadan because we've done it before. The test is when the Eid comes that we continue this, that we continue the amal that we've established during this month, that we've continued to practice the sunnah that we begin to practice this month. This is the test. We have to get off this proverbial treadmill. We have to begin to advance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy and kindness, has given us this holy month of Ramadan. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had mentioned, that this is the month where the sins are burnt off. And as I mentioned in the beginning, and I will close with this because it's very important. Yes, we seek refuge from this, but it is possible to go through this month and not benefit except from hunger and thirst, have no spiritual benefits at all. And this is not what we want. As I've mentioned, and you've testified with your own voices, that the goal through this holy month is to, repeat it inshallah, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to stay and to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please be mindful of the narration that I shared to you from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam on what real fasting is. Obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly. There's a saying that we have that, not that we have, but it's mentioned that whoever's obedient to Allah is a fundamentalist or an extremist. No. There's obedience and disobedience. Period. There's obeying Allah and disobeying Allah. Period. Following the teachings of Ahlul Bayt or not following the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. And this month, as been proven, we advance our following of Ahlul Bayt. We advance in our ibadat. And we do many things that we don't normally do, that inshallah ta'ala, this, at the end of this month, and we benefit from it totally, we continue these wonderful things. And this is the goal. The goal shouldn't be just to successfully leave the food alone for this month. It's to get closer to Allah, and then when the month is over, to continue the same trend that we've established for these 30 days. Salawat if you understand completely. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings and tawfiq to be on the right path, for the wisdom to understand His guidance, to hasten the reappearance of our Imam, and to make us His helper when He comes. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Jazakallah, Maulana. That was an excellent and enlightening speech. I think everybody agree that the lessons I think that we take away in this holy month from what we've been educated today, that may Allah grant us the strength and the will to observe the teachings today and that we achieve nearness to Him. Please recite a loud salawat for Maulana and for an excellent speech. I would like to invite Maulana Hamza Sadegar. I know he's had a bit of an event or an uneventful journey, but I understand that you've received your luggage. Please allow salawat for Maulana as well. One other reminder, we'll start with our two prayers today on both sides. I think you recall we'll alternate. So inshallah, what I would ask today is, Maulana, if you can kindly lead the prayers in the Sea Hall today, and ask five volunteers to join Maulana for the prayers in the Sea Hall. And then as of now, we'll just alternate every day on both sides. Sorry for any inconvenience, but inshallah, it'll work out. Jazakallah. Lad Salwat, please. Maghrib is Maghrib namaz will start. Azan will start at 8:56. So if you can take some time right now to get your wuzu done, and we'll start with the prayers. Jazakallah. Everything good. Yes, we're all in.